Another place where neighbor is fighting against neighbor is Yemen. The government there fell last month after a group called the Houthis occupied the capital, Sana'a. The Houthis wanted Yemen's president to be their puppet. When he refused, they took over. This week, both the U.S. and Britain decided to shut down their embassies in Sana'a, France as well. Iona Craig, who lived in Yemen for years, is watching all of this closely from London. These embassy closures, Iona, are they worried about violence or is it a diplomatic move?
I think it's a combination of both at this stage. There have been issues over security for the foreign embassies and even for UN agencies. Cars and vehicles have been harassed. Shots have been fired since the Houthis took Sana'a in September. But I think it's also a diplomatic decision in that there's little else that the Western embassies have got over the Houthis in terms of leverage. And since they've made this unilateral statement on the 6th of February, effectively formalizing the coup in Sana'a, those foreign embassies had little other way to show their dissatisfaction with the Houthis other than packing up and leaving, really, at this point.
I mean, standard protocol for embassies when there's been a takeover in a country, doesn't business go on as usual with the usual kind of pulse-taking, day-by-day assessments of what the new government's all about?
Yes, but I think the issue is there isn't really a new government, and there had been this transition process that had been heavily backed by the Western community, particularly the US. And that transition was completely destroyed by what the Houthis did. And it was the main policy of the West and the international community of stabilizing Yemen was through this transitional process that had started with the Gulf Cooperation Council deal back at the end of 2011. And they've been solidly supporting that transition process to this point. And when that collapsed, they didn't have a plan B. There wasn't, what should we do if it doesn't work out? What are our other options if this fails? And so when it did collapse, they were left empty-handed, really.
Now, Fox News is reporting that U.S. Marines were instructed to turn over their weapons before leaving. What's that about?
Well, this is obviously the scenario. You know, they have their own plans of how they evacuate. It's not the first time they've evacuated from Yemen. The last time was in 2013, but that was always with a plan of coming back in a matter of days. This time, it seemed to be they were preparing for a more longer-term period out of the country. We don't know how long that'll be. But, of course, part of that, they had to turn up to the airport in armoured vehicles, and they would have had armed personnel with them. Certainly, from what I've heard, is that actually those weapons were not handed over and that they had a procedure and that they were destroyed at the airport. But the Houthis did, in fact, take those vehicles and commandeered them after the Americans had left.
As you say, I mean, it's kind of hard to say that there is a government in Yemen right now. So when Western governments want to talk to Yemen, who do they call?
Well, at the moment, you know, the Houthis are essentially in charge, but everybody is in this period of negotiation. So the main part of that negotiation, as far as the international community is concerned now, is it's being led by Jamal Ben Ammar, the United Nations special envoy in Yemen. And he's trying to pull all political parties together to decide on how Yemen is now going to be governed. But really, you know, one of the Houthis' things was that they didn't want and don't want international interference in Yemen. So I suppose by this, you know, mass walkout, if you like, by the French, the Germans, the British and the Americans, they slightly got what they wanted to a certain extent. But I also think that they realise they need international support in some shape or form.
Yeah, and what's the Houthi position on why they don't want any international interference or help or anything?
This has been a long-standing thing of the Houthis. I mean, we know their slogan is death to America, starts with that. And they will always say that's less about them wanting to do harm to any Americans, but more about them not wanting international interference in Yemen. And this comes from a kind of slightly isolationist mentality. But I think, you know, those with more moderate views and certainly the political minds of the Houthi movement, which have been slightly marginalized recently, are much more open-minded about that and realistic in the sense that they do both need to deal with and negotiate with the international community.
After facing an increasingly insecure situation in Sana'a, you're in London. Would you consider going back to report in Yemen right now?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, to be honest with you, from a reporting aspect, it's, you know, yes, there have been these flashes of violence, and we saw it most recently in January and again when the Houthis took Sana'a in September. But the security situation on a day-to-day basis for Yemenis, I don't think it's sort of significantly worse on the streets of Sana'a now than perhaps it was, you know, a few months ago. And in fact, even from a Western perspective, there have actually been less kidnappings in the last year than there have been, you know, prior to that. So, yeah, I mean, it's not always an easy place to report from. I think from a local perspective, it's been tougher for the journalists recently. The Houthis have certainly been cracking down on journalists inside Sana'a, particularly those covering anti-Houthi protests.
Journalist Iona Craig speaking with me from London about Yemen. Thank you very much, Iona.
Thanks for having me.